right, Revelation chapter 1. I'm gonna read verses 4 through 8 and just talk about Jesus for a little bit. Beginning in verse 4, the Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I love verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. These verses here were originally given to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is probably Turkey now, but it was ultimately given for all the churches. John lived in a time much like we're living in today, maybe worse. Matter of fact, John was on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote this for preaching the gospel. He had got put on that island for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was living in a world much like ours today. He was living in a world of immorality and evil and all of that mess. And when John began preaching the truth, when John began preaching about things like purity and righteousness and godliness and all of that, people didn't like it. And John preached about Jesus being the light of the world, and the world began screaming back at him, I don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear about him being the light of the world. We don't want to hear about Jesus. Turn it off. Turn it off. And that was their attitude. We don't want to hear anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's kind of like today, isn't it, when someone gets up in a pulpit and begins to preach what thus saith the Lord, or when someone gets up in the pulpit and begins to preach the truth of God's word, or when someone stands up and prays in a public place, or when they are pro-life, or anything such as that, people don't want to hear it today. And much like in John's day, they holler back, no, 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 we don't want to hear that. I'm telling you, we're living in those days today, just kind of like John was living in all those many years ago. But I want to say this as your pastor, as long as I have a voice and as long as God allows me to preach, I'm going to preach Jesus, okay? I want people to feel what I felt when I gave my heart in Christ to the Lord. And I know it's not about a feeling. I know about that. But I just want you to know, I want people to know the truth. I want people to know the peace, the goodness that you feel when you give your heart. I'm telling you what, folks, it ain't nothing like laying down at nighttime and knowing that if God took you home, where you'd wake up. So I just want to preach about that. I want people to know his peace within us. Let me just tell you what the Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 6 and 8, regarding his return. This is what it says. I'm going to paraphrase, but it says, you're going to hear rumors of wars. See that it not trouble you, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines in the land and pestilence and earthquakes and all kinds of various places. All these, the Bible says, is the beginning of sorrow. So I'm here to tell you this morning, in the midst of what this world's going through today, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of all of the terrible things that are happening in our land today, if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we can know peace. I want folks to know about His peace within us. Let me tell you who makes this peace. Verse 4 tells us, grace to you and peace from Him that is in you. Listen, as you move closer and closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen, I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I want to tell you it's closer today than it was yesterday. When we move closer and closer to the second coming, you might not have peace around you, but bless God, if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you can have peace within you. Amen. Hey, I'm going to say that again. That's good. We might not have peace around us, but if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have peace within us. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Hey, I'm just preaching on Jesus today, and I just want to say He's the one and only, amen? And the first thing that John tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ is we can have His peace. We can have His peace within us. I'm telling you, when I gave my heart to the Lord as a 27-year-old boy, the Lord put a peace in my heart. So His peace within us, I hope you have it today. Listen, if you don't have it, you need to do business with the Lord, because He wants you to have peace. It's one of the fruits of the spirits. If you've been missing on Sunday nights, you're missing a blessing, not just because it's me preaching, but because of what I'm preaching. I'm preaching on the fruits of the Spirit, His peace within us. Can I say something else? Not only His peace within us, but I want to mention His provision for us. Not only His peace within us, but His provision for us. The Bible says in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is, listen now, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto us, notice that, I got it underlined, that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'm talking about His provision for us. Man, there's nothing like knowing that Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world like knowing that Jesus loves you. You might be here today and you say, Preacher Buckshot, nobody loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. Hey, if you were the only person here on this earth, He'd have went to cross for you. He loved you. To Him, the Bible says, to Him that loved us. You put it this way, to Him that loved us, and listen, keeps on loving us. Isn't that something? He keeps on loving us. I told you before, and I know I've told you this story till you're sick of it, but it's my story. When I was about 12 years old, I had a crush on a beautiful little girl. And I was in love. Her name was Betty Jo. Not you, Betty Jo, but another Betty Jo. Her name was Betty Jo, and I was about 12, and she's about 18. She's the prettiest thing I ever seen in my life. And I thought she liked me. We rode the bus together, and she kind of hung around me. I was in love. Man, they call it puppy love, but I was in love. I'm telling you what, I'd lay in bed at nighttime, think about her and dream about her. I didn't know Sharon yet. I'd think about Betty Jo. And you know what I'd do? I'd pick my mama's flowers, and I'd say, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me. I always work that thing out where she loves me. And then come to find out she's using me to get to my older brother. She ended up being my sister-in-law. I never have let her live that down, or my brother for stealing my first love. But I said this to say this. Aren't you glad this morning that we don't have to go and pick mama's flowers to know whether or not God loves us? We don't have to pick a flower and say God loves us. No, God doesn't love us. God loves us. No, we know based on the word of God that God loves you. Jesus loves you. It was his love that drove him to the cross that day. And when John says to him who loves us, he was saying that Jesus loves you as much today as he did the day that he died for you on an old rugged cross. Hey, can I say this? His love is continuous and is consistent. Amen. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to pick flowers. You can know based on the word of God that God loves you. God is love. He is love. And when you ask God to come into your heart, there's no way that you cannot love because of who lives inside of you. God. He loved you before you got saved. Do you know that? He did. He loved you before you got saved. I don't know how in the world he loved me before I got saved. I didn't get saved. I was 27 years old and I was mean as a snake. Wasn't I, Sharon? Sharon didn't love me too much then, but God did. He loves us. One of my favorite Bible verses is Romans. I got a bunch of favorite, but one of my favorite is Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hey, the Bible says it like this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, I'm going to have to hold on right here. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say amen. That's his love for you. Provision for you. But listen, there's more. There's more. He loved us, and listen to this. He loosed us. Verse 5 says, He loved us and washed us from our sins with his blood. I wrote down, he loosed us. He washed us from our sins. That word there, wash, is a verb, and it comes from a Greek word that means that he released us. He loosened us. He broke the chains that was holding you to sin. He washed us from our sins in his blood. But more than just that, more than just washed us from our sins, he loosed us. Folks, we don't have to continue in sin anymore. By the power of God that lives inside of you, you don't have to be shackled by those sins. I never will forget my oldest son, Bradley. He was a bad little boy when he was, I see Janice back there. He was bad, Janice. I gave him more whippings, little paddlings. I remember I grabbed him one day. He did something. I grabbed him one day, and I was holding him by the hand. He said, "Loosen me, Daddy." Jesus loosed us from the power of sin. His blood loosed us, set us free from our sins. For every born-again, blood-bought child of God. Yeah, he loved us. But because of his love for us, he loosed us. Listen, not only did he love us, folks, not only did he loose us from the power of sin, but listen to this, he lifted us. Verse 6 says that he made us kings and priests. What does that mean, preacher? The Greek talks about he made us kingdom of priests. He not only loved us and he not only loosened us, he lifted us into a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? It means that as priests, we have direct access to God. I don't have to go to a closet somewhere and talk to a priest and hope that priest goes to God. I don't have to go to a pope and confess my sins to a pope and hope that pope goes to God for me. Listen, I can get on my knees wherever I'm at and go to a holy God. And based on the word of God, God hears me. And he answers my prayer according to his precious will. The Bible says he's made us kingdom of priests. We have direct access to God. I'm telling you, when he was on that cross and he said, "It is finished," the Bible says there was an earthquake and the ground began to split. And it went from Calvary all the way to the temple. And then there in the temple, there was a curtain. It was about a foot thick. And nobody could go in the Holy of Holies but the priest just once a year. And the Bible says that it was rent in two from the bottom to the top. And we can go in and have access to a holy God. You talk about love. That's love right there. A holy God talking to a sinful man. That's love. He loved us. He loosed us from the power of sin and he lifted us. How'd he do that? He's Jesus. He's the Holy One. He can do what he pleases. His peace within us, his provision for us. And last of all, I want you to notice this. His promise to us is found in verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Behold, he comes with clouds. And every eye," the Bible says, "is going to see him." I don't understand that, but I believe it. And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8 says, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." I mean, the whole theme of the book of Revelation is, and in much of the Bible, is talking about his visible and his victorious return. And I read things like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." And then I read in the Gospel of Matthew where it says, "For the Son of Man is going to come." And then I read there in John chapter 14 in verse 3 where Jesus said, "I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be as well." And then we can read in Acts chapter 1 verse 11 that says, "This same Jesus who was taken up into the heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into the heaven." I believe I'd be safe in saying this morning, Jesus is coming back one of these days based on the word of God. And I'll tell you how I know that, because he's in charge. Hey, listen, I'm going to quit, but he came the first time as a Lamb of God. But I'm telling you, the next time Jesus comes, he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He came the first time just to hang there on an old rugged cross, but he's coming the second time to sit on a throne. Amen. I've said this before. He's already come one time to give me a new heart. But I'm telling you, next time we see the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming to give us a new home. He's come one time to take away my sin. But I'm telling you, the next time Jesus comes, he's going to take us up out of this sin. He's already come one time, thank God, by his grace. But next time we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see him in all of his glory. Amen. When he came the first time, he was mocked. But when he comes the second time, the Bible says every knee, not just some knee, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why, preacher? Because he's Jesus, and he's in charge, and he's the one and only. As you decide what you're going to do with Jesus, remember two things. Two things. Boy, this got me. The shortness of time and the length of eternity. You ever thought about that? Man, life is just a vapor. We're here for a moment and then we're gone. Man, I almost said I remember when I was born, but I don't. But I'm 56 years old. It just seemed like yesterday I was a little boy aggravating people to death. And now I'm 56 years old. Where's time gone? Shortness of time and the length of eternity. Man, my little old mind can't even comprehend the length of eternity. Preacher told me this one time, then I'll quit. He said eternity something like this. Think about it this way. If a little tiny bird flew to Eddisto Beach, that's where I like to go to the beach. If a little tiny bird flew to Eddisto Beach and picked up one grain of sand, flew across the ocean and put that piece of sand down over there on the other side of the ocean and flew all the way back and picked up one more tiny, tiny little piece of grain of sand and flew all the way back. And if he just kept doing that day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out, when every one little piece, every little grain of sand was picked up on Eddisto Beach and flew to the other side of the ocean, eternity would just begun. Man, that's a long time, isn't it? Hey, are you ready to meet the Lord? Is your house in order? The shortness of time and the length of eternity ought to make us think. Amen. Musicians, you come. And we'll sing a hymn of invitation. And here's my invitation this morning. You're here today and you don't know whether or not you're saved. I just want to say a little prayer right now. You say this prayer and you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, Lord. I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that you lived a sinless life and died on an old rugged cross and they buried you in a tomb. And on the third day you arose from the grave. I believe you, Lord. Come into my heart and be my Savior. You say a prayer such as that and mean it with all of your heart. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit would come in and be your Savior. Maybe you're here and you're not as close to the Lord as you once were. Hey, maybe God's brought you here today to say, hey, you just need to come back home. Just fellowship more with Him. If God's speaking to you today, do something. Make a decision for Him. Maybe you're here today and you just won't come. Get on this altar and pray. Maybe you're here and you've been visiting for some time and you feel like God's calling you to join up with us at Northside. Would you do that today? Would you be obedient if God is speaking? Not me, but God. If God's speaking to your heart, you be obedient. Father, this is your invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and have your way. And we'll thank you for all you do. Holy Spirit, move, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.